It's time for Wolo and Friends on Sports 56, presented by Homer Skelton Hyundai. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Wednesday, that means golf picks are coming your way. We will talk team golf. We'll talk about Memphis golf. How good is Memphis golf? How good is Memphis as a golf town? You know, the sport has increased in popularity immensely since the COVID pandemic. And I'm wondering if those numbers are still there, and of course we have our panel and our pickers, and Zach Boyd, you've got the numbers. What's the order for picking this week? Scotty Scheffler was Johnny, right?
Yeah.
So is Johnny in first now?
He's in first.
So he goes last.
Then it's Mickey.
Mickey's in third now?
He's in third?
No, I'm asking you.
Oh, no, I think Mickey is second.
Mickey is second, so he picks third. Yeah, that's what I mean. All right.
And then you're third.
Okay.
And I'm fourth.
All right, so you go first this week, and we'll get the numbers from you right before we do all of that. By the way, I thought you had the best team in the little draft thing.
I appreciate that.
But Greg and Eli would not agree with that. I just pitched that to them, and they said, are you out of your mind? Because I asked Greg if he'd been drinking this morning with the way that thing went. But I didn't realize he went first and then sixth. So he was way down. He didn't go first and then fourth. So
yeah.
That means he lost a bunch of ground in all of that. So we'll talk that. NBA last night was outstanding once again. Now we've got Miami and Boston tonight, followed by New Orleans and OKC. Those are both 1-0 series for the home team, and the home teams in that series are incredibly favored. 14.5 is the line for Boston tonight. Of course, no Jimmy Butler. And then New Orleans at OKC without Zion, and that number is 7.5. I thought OKC was actually very lucky to win game number one there. But those are 1-0, right? The two series are now tied, one in the East, one in the West. Pacers beat the Bucks last night. And that game, did you watch that at all? That wasn't even close.
The Bucks and Pacers?
Pacers dominated the whole game, the whole way.
Yeah. Yeah, they changed up their defensive strategy like immediately. Like you saw a difference last night.
Well, let's face it. Rick Carlisle is a smart coach. He's won a title. And he makes great adjustments. And here's the other thing about what I love. 38 assists. Now, Siakam, who's won a title, understands what it takes in the playoffs. He had 37 points, 11 rebounds. I think he had 6 assists, too. They're the highest scoring and the best assist team in the league. That's teamwork right there. Okay? And no Giannis, no answer. You know, even Lillard did get, in the 30s again, but they are definitely missing one of the great players in the game. And if he doesn't come back, I don't see how they win this series. Now it's 1-1, so Indianapolis now has the home court advantage. And what's the old saying? The series really starts when a home team loses. Bucks have lost. Indy's now got home court advantage. And Dallas beat the Clippers last night. And that's with Kawhi Leonard coming back. So you had all the stars there. Harden played good again. Paul George is Paul George. But Dallas actually played incredible defense. Luka played good defense. I think of all the Mavericks, he graded out defensive efficiency at the top. Because remember, they used to pick on him defensively and pick and rolls, and they would target him. He played really good defense last night, and then he had 32 points and 9 assists. Okay. Irving had 23. I would have to say Kawhi didn't look 100%. And now Dallas has stolen home court advantage in that. I've not ever been a believer in the Clippers. Usually it's because of injuries. This time everybody played and they still lost at home to the Mavs. So Dallas is in pretty good shape there. We'll see. We'll see if the, you know, so many people were high on the Clippers. We'll see what they can do. And then you got four series that have gone all home court advantage. Knicks over Philly. Philly gave away game two. Denver and the Lakers. That was an incredible game. I don't know if that series is totally over. I think Denver's going to win it, but these games are really, really entertaining. Cleveland over Orlando, Minnesota over Phoenix. We shall see. In our final segment today, we'll talk a little bit about a couple of Reggies. One, Reggie Bush, who has been given back his Heisman. There are plenty that think, because everybody was probably getting paid under the table in those days, that Reggie should not have lost his Heisman to begin with. I don't know. You broke the law, you broke the law, even if the law was not right and most people were doing it. If they were to, and this may have been something that Greg or Eli brought up, but I'm of the same mind thought. If we decide PEDs are okay, does that get all, does Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, are they immediately into the hall? Because in retro, it's retroactive, right? Because now players are paid, the rules from the past don't apply. We could talk a little bit about that. And there's another Reggie I want to get into. That is Reggie White. Because Reggie White and Pepper Rodgers will be honored at the Showboats game this Sunday. We'll get into that in the final segment of the show. Ron Higgins is going to be off today. We are going to get a chance to converse with the new interim athletic director of the U of M in just a minute or two. We'll get him on the phone. Jeff Crane's going to join us. What does an interim athletic director do? How does he carry on? What's the focus now? I'm assuming it's the same thing that Laird Veach would have been doing, but we'll hear from Jeff Crane in just 1 minute. I do want to let you know this portion of the show, always on Wednesdays, is brought to you by the good folks at Dinstals. Dinstals is celebrating Administrative Professionals Week this week with sweet treats for your office staff. So if you're the boss and you've got some assistants, they used to call this Secretary's Week, but we're now really politically correct. So if you've got an administrative professional that is in your office and you want to be really sweet and nice, you head to Dinstals. And Dinstals is making it easy for you because strawberries, $10 off through Saturday. Do it while they last. You know they will go. And they're only fresh strawberries. So as long as they last, they last. $10 off because of Administrative Professionals Week. Other gifts also available in all of the five locations where they make it. That's on Pleasant View, my neck of the woods, Laurelwood, Germantown, Collierville, and downtown. So there's gifts everywhere, $10 off the strawberries through Saturday while they last. Say thank you to your staff this week. Say it the sweetest way you can with Dinstals. So let's head to campus. To another, a sweet guy, and that is Jeff Crane. He's about as likable a guy as you'll ever want to meet, who's a sports administrator. Congratulations are in order for getting the interim job. That is obviously a lot of responsibility placed on your shoulders. I guess my first question would be, we watched Laird Veach on Saturday at the Blue-Gray game talk like, you know, he was still, no sign. You were on our radio broadcast, no sign. When did you find out Laird Veach was leaving? Good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning. Well, you know, first, I'm just so excited and appreciative for this opportunity to continue to advance our program, and we have such a great staff here, which is a tribute to Laird, and people that he's been able to bring in here are just some of the best in the country. And we're not stepping on the brakes in any way. We're gonna press on the gas and keep moving forward. But to answer your question, these things come together rather fast. And so Laird and I talked on Sunday, and he let me know that this could be a possibility. And sure enough, by Monday it was. So they all happen really fast, and we're certainly sad that he's leaving, and but excited for him and opportunity to be at an SEC program and closer to family and all of those things. But we've got a big agenda here and a lot of big things going, so we're not looking back.
I'm really not surprised to hear that that's the way it unfolded, because you would not have known at all if he knew this was coming the way he was at the Blue-Gray game on Saturday, because he did a heck of a job with his interview on field and the way he was getting everybody going and Frank thanking Fred Smith and everything else. So it's incredible, like you said, how quickly these things come together. So you've got a plan. There's no question about that. That's been hatched for a long, long time. How tough is it to just step in and now take over, and you don't know how long you are in charge? Could be your gig. Could be that you're just taking care of it for a while.
Yeah, and Dr. Hargraves made it clear that my job is to not be a caretaker. My job is to move this thing forward. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. But this is a team effort, and that's the way that we've operated since Laird's gotten here, and that sort of approach will continue. And we have awesome coaches here. We have awesome staff here, yes, we are down our leader, but it's business as usual. We've got professionals that'll continue to do great things, and thankfully the foundation of the plan is in place. We've got obviously this stadium ownership and renovation that are a big part of what we're going to do over the next several months. We obviously announced the FedEx NIL partnership, but now we've got to work with FedEx to execute it, and that's a big lift. But we've got experts and folks that are going to help us advance that. So we've got a lot of fundraising we've got to get done. Happy to tell you that we're nearing 20 million of our first 25 million that we need to raise. So we want to raise that last 5 million in the next 30 days, so we can move forward with phase two. So that's a big part of what I'll be doing over the next month or so. So plenty to do, and it's good work, though. It's work that advances the program. We're in such a great place. Laird had a lot to do with that, but that momentum will continue on.
How does your day seriously change, other than talking to me today? Because honestly, you and I would not be chatting. I know you would have been on your normal radio spot with Greg and Eli next week in the morning. But how does your schedule, your responsibilities change in this short term?
Yeah, well, I can tell you that, generally I have been in lockstep with Laird through much of what we've done over the last several years, and I appreciate that he's included me in that. And so, I know right where we are on most of our significant initiatives. So I'll continue to work on those as I have. But one thing I have noticed already, because Dr. Hargrave said that, you're the interim AD effective immediately. And so Laird is still here, but now when the answer can't be given by someone else, it somehow comes to my desk. So, the final say is here, which is new to me. Mm-hmm. But I've actually served in this role before at another institution, so I'm not terribly unfamiliar with it. But certainly more meetings, more phone calls, more opportunities to be in front of groups like I'll do here at lunch. But those are all fun and positive and new things.
Just to be very clear, you do want the gig, right? I mean, if you have your druthers, you become the athletic director of the University of Memphis, right?
Absolutely. When I came here 5 years ago, and Tom Bowen was the AD that hired me. And when I got here, Tom Bowen was no longer here. So I chose to be here at Memphis. I wasn't necessarily worried about the people that would come and go. I was wanting to be at Memphis because my philosophy is when you come to a great place, great people are going to be attracted to that great place, and so good things are going to happen. And that's, you know, precisely what has happened here, and that's what I've seen throughout my career. So for me, it's, you know, the people are obviously extremely important, but initially it's about the place. And this is a special place, and this place will always attract great people, and there will always be lots of opportunities for great places like Memphis. So absolutely, I want this job, and I absolutely want to be here.
That is fantastic, and I know you, if you get it, would do a great job. I understand that Dr. Hargrave is going to do due diligence and check around, as he said, and I know there will be a great deal of interest, because and thanks to Laird, and really thanks to Tom Bowen, too, this program has been put in a good position. You mentioned the New Deal with FedEx and the heavy lifting that you guys now have to do. Can you sort of explain that process? We know it's $5 million. Do they make all the choices on who gets the money? Is there collaboration with coaches? How does that thing truly work?
Yeah, so I'll talk about the dollars first. It's a $5 million investment in NIL from FedEx with a challenge to raise an additional $2.5 million. To bring our total NIL commitment to $7.5 million. So we need to get out there and raise those dollars for NIL, an additional $2.5 million that we need to raise. So that's a big part of what we're doing. And then in terms of the execution, you've heard talk about our partner in Altius, who we brought in about 6 months ago. Didn't necessarily see this opportunity at that time, but we knew Altius was at the cutting edge of NIL, and we felt like the landscape was changing so rapidly that we needed a partner at the table that could help us adjust to that. And so this is a one-of-a-kind partnership. So they will work directly, FedEx will work directly with Altius. They will, meaning FedEx, will select the student-athletes that they would like to have participate in various activations, which have already begun. Altius and our staff will help contact those student athletes, hold them accountable to appearing at the activation or taking whatever steps they need to take, and then being sure that they receive the money from FedEx for whatever that activation is. So, lots of moving parts to this, but in the end, we think this is a model not only for other companies in Memphis to invest in Memphis NIL, but a model for the whole country as we go forward.
Since that FedEx announcement and the $2.5 million matching that you mentioned, have you had much action? Have people gone, you know what, FedEx is doing that, my company should too? Have you had any takers since the reveal?
Yeah, we haven't had any on the corporate side, but we've had a lot of individuals. One of the things that we did was sent communication to our fan base to go check out GoTigersGo/NIL, where we tried to consolidate all of our NIL fundraising efforts into that one portal, if you will, and folks can go and decide, I'd like to give to NIL for any one of our sports, and they click that box and they can make a donation directly to NIL for any one of our sports. So we're trying to streamline that process, make it a little easier for folks to get involved. And that's a part of what Altius does too, is they're going to be very much active out there and having those sort of conversations with companies around the city to get involved, just like FedEx did.
If your NIL budget ends up being $7.5 million, how will that rank with the American? How would that rank with, say, a mid-level SEC team?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, that's one of the mysteries of NIL, is you don't really know. So yeah. I'll start by saying that. But with the benchmarking that we can get out there, we believe we're in the top two or three in the American easily, if not number one. But we also believe that we become at these numbers very competitive with, you know, probably the lower quartile of the Power Five. So this puts us in some great company, certainly, to you know, attract student athletes that want these sort of opportunities. I mean, this got national attention when it came across, and there's certainly lots of folks out there that took notice of that. So, but you know, this is an area that's just growing. So our competition is trying to find ways to enhance their NIL opportunity, just like we are. And it's not something that we can sit back and say, okay, that's great. FedEx gave us these dollars, and we're good. We're going to have to continue to invest and raise money in this area to stay competitive.
Yo, I'm curious, because we've heard so many people say before this announcement with FedEx, and I'm not talking about Memphis people, national, that the model with which NIL is now working is unsustainable. That sooner or later, you're going to have to make student athletes employees, contracts, and they're going to get a piece of the total revenue picture, because you can't keep going back to the same people or the same organizations asking for more and more money, as you always have, and now to pay salaries. Do you think this new model with FedEx is sustainable, or do you see the inevitability of the future where athletes become employees?
Yeah, I'll start by saying I'm not sure that any of us could have foreseen 3, 4, 5 years ago that we would be sitting here talking about a $25 million investment by a Fortune 50 company in student athlete name, no image, and likeness.
Right.
So to say what the future holds, who knows? But I do feel like we're very well positioned to take advantage because of our partnership with Altius and because of some of the innovative things that we've been able to do here. We're positioned to take advantage of whatever may come our way. But as to the question on sustainability, I think that's exactly why corporate investment is important. And FedEx, they see the value in this. And this isn't just a let's see if we can help Memphis. They're, right. They're expecting a return on this as well. And I think as they see that return, then this will become a model where others can look at it and say, you know what? If this is good enough for FedEx, if the return was there for FedEx, maybe we need to look at it as well. And that's how we can sustain this, because individuals giving dollars into collectives and things like that, those are great opportunities, and we're having those conversations every day. But to generate the dollars that we all need to generate to stay competitive, that model is not sustainable.
Well, FedEx already got a big bang, because let's face it, they were on national websites, news, and sports for this as really being innovative. So I'm happy for them, and I'm definitely happy for us. You have come into really sports administration at one of maybe the most weird time in all of history, because we have free agency on a regular basis with salaries and movement. Every year you can now enter the transfer portal if you want. So unique times, and I know unique approaches, and I know you're up for that challenge, Jeff.
Well, thanks so much. You know, I think the ones that really feel this pinch are our coaches, because they're on the front lines of this every day. We're trying to provide them the support and the infrastructure and the opportunities to take advantage of it. But our coaches are really having to make significant adjustments in how they recruit and how they think and operate, just the same as we are. So, you know, with change comes opportunity, whether that's in the NIL space or with an athletics director change, whatever it may be. And you know, we're not going to sit back. We're just going to keep pressing forward.
My friend, thank you much. Congrats on the interim. We're all hoping the best for you. I know you'll be a part of it no matter which way this comes out. And thank you for being on with us this morning.
Thanks so much, Dave. Appreciate you having me. All go right. Tigers, go.
You got it, Jets. Jeff Crane, the interim athletic director of the University of Memphis. Sitting in the Family Leisure studio, and a reminder, we still have a couple of weeks left of the Factory Direct pricing sale on swimming pools, on spas, on patio furniture. Those swim pools and spas, you realize you can get $1,000 to $5,000 off during the Factory Direct pricing sale with the beautiful patio sets. They're the 2024s. That means new designs, new materials that really kind of last longer than they used to. Really gorgeous stuff. Please get to I-40 and Witten Road. Take advantage of the Factory Direct pricing sale at Family Leisure. We'll pause for a second. Johnny Lyon already holding on. Mickey Barker's going to join us in a minute. We'll go over numbers. We got a team format this week. We talk golf with the guys in just a minute.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56, presented by Homer Skelton Hyundai. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
I welcome in, always one of my favorite times of the week. We talk golf, we make golf picks. Zach, you're last, I'm third. This is not good. Mickey sits in second now, which means he'll pick third, and the last pick will be Johnny, who again feasts on Scottie Scheffler. Somebody had a chance to take Scottie Scheffler last week and didn't. That opened up the door for Johnny. Zach Boyd, what are our numbers at the moment?
So last week's numbers, Johnny racked in $6.4 million.
So it's going to be tough to catch him total. So what has he got now?
He's got a little bit over $7 million total.
Yeah, that's tough. Then Mickey's next. What has he got?
Mickey last week was $1.4 million, and totals around just a little bit over $5 million.
So he's only a couple million behind Johnny. That's not crazy. Where am I?
Last week, a little bit over $1 million.
Okay.
Last week.
So what have I got total?
And then total just a little bit under $2 million.
Man, so I'm $5 million behind the leaders.
Yeah.
Whew. Lord.
You don't want to know my score. Like, it's bad.
Well, you could have had Scottie Scheffler last week.
I was trying to be a good guy. The man was about to have a baby. I just didn't know when. Can't plan that stuff out.
Yeah, I get it. We got stars, that's for sure. Scottie Scheffler, Nelly Korda. It's kind of fun to watch that. Let me bring in the guys. Johnny, who is our leader. Mickey, you are next. Just out of curiosity. Yeah, the numbers for the Masters came in a little bit down. I think golf is still thriving. At least playing rounds are thriving. They have since the COVID pandemic. I'm going to start with Mickey because he knows numbers for the city. Even though there seems to, we don't have a genuine star. Nobody's loving Scottie Scheffler, apparently, because we only had 9.5 million people watching on Sunday at Augusta, second lowest ratings ever. Are we still playing a lot of golf? What are the numbers like? They started to go crazy after COVID. Where are we now, Mickey?
We're still at all-time high. I mean, I think everybody's out playing golf and not watching in the afternoon because Our numbers are up. The golf courses are full. I know we have, one of our courses still closed and one just opened fully recently, but our numbers are still through the roof.
Johnny, what is your take on the popularity of golf at the moment? Why do you think the numbers are not so good?
Well, good to be on the show. Hope you had a happy birthday.
Thank you.
The numbers were down for the PGA Tour for a couple of reasons. Nelly Korda was breaking all the records on the other channel and won 5 in a row and a major at the club at Carlton Woods, one of my good customers. And you know, also the PGA Tour had a rain delay that really screwed them up, and you know, but I think there's still a little problem with the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour, and they need to bring them all together somehow. And but golf is booming. The weather here in Memphis is unbelievable today. If you're not playing golf, you should be.
I think there's a little disconnect with the public over the LIV split. I can buy that, but that. The best LIV players were playing in the Masters. They're going to play in the majors. So that does not explain the $9.5 million that you only got on Sunday. There was no Tiger Woods, and I don't know if we're going to ever get another Tiger Woods for charisma. Maybe it'll come. Look what Caitlin Clark did for women's golf. Mickey, do you think Caitlin Clark, Nelly Korda can do that? You know, Nancy Lopez did help the LPGA a lot. Annika Sorenstam was probably the best player ever. I don't know if she really moved the needle, but I got a feeling Nelly Korda might be able to. What's your take on that?
I think she may be able to, given that she's an American. I think she could really move the needle. She doesn't like to be out in the spotlight. She's kind of an introverted person, so we'll have to see how that shakes out. But her ability level is sky high.
Yeah. What do you think about her, Johnny?
Nelly Korda is on fire. I mean, she's like Mickey said, you know, she's an American woman. Winning in golf has been a long time coming. There was more people watching the LPGA than the PGA. But like I said, it was a lot to do with the rain delay some of the problems that happened.
You know,
they didn't even finish the tournament until Monday, so...
I think people are going to be drawn in sports now to wherever the personalities drive them. We saw that with Caitlin Clark. When the women's NCAA beat the men's in numbers for TV ratings, it tells you something, and that's going to carry over, I think, if Korda can continue. The other nice story there is Rose Zhang, who, of course, Rachel Heck, her teammate at Stanford, she came out and won a tournament right off the bat, and she hasn't done much since then, but she's a woman, I think, that people are drawn to watch. She's got that kind of a personality. Mickey, what kind of a golf city is Memphis? You mentioned the numbers, how good they have been since COVID. Are we amongst, in the just the state, are we the best place to enjoy golf, or where do we rank?
I think so. I think Memphis is, you know, what the rest of the state is looking toward our public golf, especially. We have a lot of availability of golf courses for the people that are not members of country clubs. We have a lot of wonderful country clubs as well, but we have more places for the average golfer to play. Some of the complaints I hear about Nashville are, you know, we still have enough places to play. There's just a few public courses outside the city courses, even though our rates have gone up a little bit here, you know, your public golf in Nashville is heading toward $100. So it's
really.
I think we're positioned really well in the state and really the Southeast, especially, you know, once Audubon comes back on and with all the renovations of Pine Hill and Overton, I think we look really good. You have some other, you know, you got Timber Trust down in North Mississippi that is doing some great things. John Goen has really turned that place around. It's a fantastic place to play golf, and he's doing a lot of great numbers down there.
And Miramichi, of course, on the other side in the north, Fred Edmiston and that group have really put a lot into making that course absolutely beautiful and incredibly competitive. I know they have great junior tournaments going on there. Since you mentioned it, Audubon, I heard a rumor, I don't know if it's true, that you were going to charge $75 for adults on weekends. And I know there were people that were going, what? But, you know, if you think about it, Nashville,
$100. We're not exactly sure. We're not going to be quite that high, I don't think. But, you know, there's still a lot of discussion to go in before we open in August as to where exactly we will be. We will be higher than we were. but we're not exactly sure. But it will be worth it once we get it open.
Well, and it's going to be worthy of NCAA tournaments. I mean, this is going to be the class of the public sector, correct?
I believe so, yes. I'm in a few minutes, I'm meeting with Bill Bergen. He's coming back into town. We're going to walk the golf course. First time he's going to see it since last fall. I feel like he's going to be pretty happy with it. But, yeah, it's going to be our premier golf course for sure.
What are the what are the feedback that you get on OP9 on Pine Hill, since those have been totally redone and reopened? Now you got the clubhouse, which I've not yet seen really at Pine Hill, but I've played Pine Hill a couple of times, and I think it's spectacular. It's a lot harder than it used to be, but it is a great and pretty test of golf.
Well, I think the people are voting with their feet. The highest number of rounds we had in a month at Overton prior to the renovation was in the height of the pandemic. We did 1,552 rounds 1 month at Overton. This month, in September of this past fall, we did 3,500 rounds. So it's amazing. Pine Hill, revenue-wise, the biggest month we ever had that I have on record was $29,000. We're on pace to do about $90,000 this month.
What?
So
triple,
yeah,
what you've ever done before?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Incredible.
Wow, that is really amazing. All right, let's make some golf picks. We've got team format. It's the only time, other than a Ryder Cup, that these guys play team golf. It's really like Ryder Cup. It's best ball and alternate shot. There are 82-man teams. They'll make the cut, 33 and ties. These are tough picks to make, that is for sure. Zach Boyd, you have the distinction with your numbers to go first.
My first group will be Shoffley and Cantlay.
Cannot blame you for that at all, because that's what I would have done. Xander and Patrick for you. I'm gonna try Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry.
Pretty good pick. Not sure they're going to be in much shape to play golf with all their fun they're going to have in New Orleans, but
maybe. McIlroy needs something good to happen.
True.
You got
I'm
going to
go with Zalatoris and Pagala.
Oh, you're just going by the darn ratings.
Well,
I got you down
last week. Yeah.
All right, Johnny.
Okie dokie. Going fourth. You know, I got the bottom of the barrel here, but I'm taking the Fitzpatrick brothers.
Yep. I don't blame you. I love that. There's other brothers in here that I kind of like. All right, Zach, go ahead.
Let me get last year's winners, Hardy and Riley.
Okay. That's Nick Hardy and Davis Riley. I am going to go with you've left me Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin. I got to go there.
Very good pick, Dave.
Thank you.
I'm going to go with the other brothers, the Højgaard brothers.
Yeah, I almost went there. Nicholas and Rasmus Højgaard?
Yes.
Okay. Johnny?
I'm going to take everybody's favorite, Morikawa and Kitayama.
Yeah, that's great.
Colin Morikawa is on fire. If
you
just get his head out of
the way. That leaves you, Zach, last pick. First of this first pick of the third round. You're last.
I'm going to go for a shoot lower in the barrel. I don't know who had the Johnny. I think Johnny is picking lowest of the barrel. I think I am, to be honest with you. Let's do Horschel and Alexander.
Okay. That's old and young. I'm going to go with the Canadians. Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith.
I was afraid you might pick that pair. I'm going to go with Austin Eckroat and Chris Goddard.
And who?
Chris Goddard. He's a fairly young player. Hits it 9 miles.
Okay. Eckroat, Aaron Eckroat. I think it's Aaron, right? And Chris
Eckroat.
Eckroat, yeah. and Goddard. Last pick.
The last pick has to be the old guys, Matt Kuchar and Steve Stricker.
If they do anything, I'd bow to you. I will bow down to you if they do anything. All right.
Hey, Dave, one real quick story there.
Please.
Eric Cole, who's playing a lot, playing really well, his caddy is Russ Cochran's son.
Really?
So Eric has chosen Russ Cochran to be his partner. So because Russ Cochran was sitting on 599 career starts, this will be his 600th and last start on the PGA Tour.
He's from Paducah, isn't he, Russ Cochran?
Russ is. Russ Cochran, yes.
Yeah. Wow. That's fantastic. I love that story. That's great. So, Zach, you've got Cantlay and Xander. You've got who was your second pick again real quick?
Hardy and Riley.
Hardy and Riley, that's right. And Horschel. And then I've got McIlroy and Lowry, Taylor and Hedwin, and Connors and Pendrith. Mickey's got Thigala and Zalatoris. He's got the Hogard brothers and Aaron Eckroat and Chris Gottrup. And Johnny's got the Fitzpatrick brothers. He's got Morikawa and Kitayama. And he's got Kuchar and Stricker. And we are in the books on the team. Next week, guys, I'm not here. Brian Takis will be picking for me, okay? I'll be gone next week, but then I'll be back the following Wednesday. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you.
Sounds great, Dave. See you soon.
Yeah. Thank you, Lolo.
All right. That's Johnny Lyons, Mickey Barker, Zach Boyd, all brought to you by the good folks at the Eflin Insurance Team, where they use collaboration to make sure you're protected, whether it's for your home, your car, your future with life insurance. They get to know you, your family, your budget, and then they protect you with the perfect insurance. They do the same thing with small to mid-sized businesses. They get to know you, your product, your employees, what's important, forecast you down the road, what's your budget, and then they find the perfect commercial insurance. All you got to do is call 901-386-4777. That spells out GER, because they're big Tiger supporters. 901-386-GER. Get protected the collaborative way with the Eflin Insurance Team. Back in a minute. There's some stories going out there we'll touch on momentarily on Wallow and Friends.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Wallow and Friends on Sports 56, presented by Homer Skelton Hyundai. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
A lot of buzz the last 24 hours about the former number 8 prospect in the class of 2024, according to 24/7 Sports. That is former Kentucky commit, 6'9", 16-year-old Jaden Quaintance, 5-star center, committed to John, has basically told everybody now he has ruled out going to Kentucky because John moved. He has now interest in going to Arkansas, apparently. And it appears to be down to Memphis and to Louisville, with a lot of leaning toward Memphis. If you got this guy, with what you've already got, and you get David Jones, and I'm gonna take Penny at 70-30. The odds getting him are better than not getting him. You get those two guys in the fold with what you've got. Maybe you add in one other sort of big piece that's a screen setter defensive guy, that's a role guy. That's a piece that's certainly, or I should say, those are pieces that fit together that should be a second weekend team, don't you think? Just on paper?
I mean, you will hope so.
I mean, in full confession, we kind of thought last year the pieces on paper looked that way, and then 15-2 made it sure seem that way, especially with the teams that you beat. But even with the daunting schedule that you've got in front of you, these pieces, if you get those two with what you got, you'd have defense, shooting, scoring, star, charisma. I mean, you'd have it all.
Yeah. I think the one thing that, and this coaching staff knows it, but the one thing that, you know, that this team is missing is a couple of those versatile wing forward players, the guys with size, 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", that can play on the perimeter and can go small ball if you need to. I think you miss, if you get a couple of those guys, then it's like, okay, well, now this roster is starting to shape out. Then you might look at adding another freshman to this team just to kind of have some future.
Well, I don't know how many freshmen really are there still out there. They're just those that would have committed to a school that their coach left. Otherwise, everybody was sort of taken. That's why you're going to end up with two freshmen. This guy, by the way, is really important to get because you would get him for more. I mean, if he's a one-and-done guy, which most top eight guys in a class might be, he's only 16. He's got to play 2 years by NBA rule.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, with bated breath, we will wait. Two Reggies, right? One's Reggie Bush. Got his Heisman Trophy back, is allowed to go to all the Heisman functions, I guess could be included in these commercials that he's missed out on all these years. You can easily make the argument they never should have taken the Heisman away. So I don't begrudge Reggie Bush what he did, but Reggie Bush was taking money when he knew it was illegal. So let's call it like it is. Now, it makes me wonder, can we change everything in retrospect? Like the old PED rule. If they go, you know what? Everybody can do it. You got to let all those people in, right? Doesn't matter what the rule was that you broke, because you broke a rule. That doesn't matter because now that rule is legal. It just doesn't make a total amount of sense to me, but in the end, it's a little like the PEDs. Everybody was doing it. So in order to be competitive at the top level, you kind of had to do it. Everybody was taking money in Reggie Bush's day. So I guess I do not begrudge him. Somebody wrote a thing about the 2008 team. Now, that's a little different because that was about academic integrity. My complaint on that is they've never proven that Derrick Rose didn't take the test, and they cleared him the first time. That's why the 2008 thing should never have been taken away. Final Reggie story, it's Reggie White. Some of the greatest memories I have in Memphis in sports came from 1984, 1985, the Memphis Showboats. Pepper Rodgers and Reggie White. Those two will be honored at halftime with a video, and I'm not sure exactly what all they are going to do, but they're going to honor the memories and the legacies of both Pepper Rodgers and Reggie White, the Minister of Defense, the jokester, the best athlete, football player, a big guy I have ever seen. He was a defensive lineman that was faster than our running backs. I've never seen a guy since like him. He was, in my mind, the best defensive lineman I've ever seen, and a great guy, and a man of ethics and morals. If you've ever seen the 30 for 30 about him, you'd know, and if you haven't, you need to see it. But they're going to honor both Reggie and one of the, I think, one of the great fun characters of all time in Memphis sports, and that's Pepper Rodgers. That will be Sunday at the Showboats game. That'll do it for us. His final portion, Brought to you by Grind City Brewing, the place where you get the best local beer, the place where you can enjoy concerts and all kinds of entertainment on weekend nights, maybe some weekday nights too, right on the river, right north of downtown with a view of the bridges and the city. Oh, it's just beautiful. And so are their products. I mean, they've been taking care of beerness in Memphis for a while with their Pilsner, Poppy's Pills, the Godhopper, the Pale Ale, the Thaddeus Amber Lager. If you love Blue Moon, you'll love the Belgian-style wheat ale they call Belga. There's the Tiger Tail, the craft malt liquor. These are great products made right here. They are a taste of Memphis. And if you haven't been to the brewery, you're missing something. It's a place to really enjoy. And again, they've got concerts all the time. Grind City Brewing, taking care of beerness and entertainment on the river in Memphis. See you tomorrow. Johnny Radio is next. Have a great day, everybody.